We begin the current daf in Sefer Zvodizor, daf Mem Aleph. We begin 7 lines down with the Tav of the Yamad. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf where we open up the third paragraph of this Masechta, Kalat Slamim, talking about Slamim images regarding its prohibition of having benefit from it, regarding the assumption if that image is an Zvodizor, is worshipped as an idol or not. The opening opinion of the Mishnah, a mayor said, all Slamim, all images are forbidden because we assume that it's worshipped at least once a year. But the second opinion mentioned in our Mishnah, which is what the Gemara quotes right now, is V'chacham Aymrim, they say, Einan Asurin V'chulu, the only thing that's forbidden are images that also have in its hand one of three objects, either a makel, a stick, or tzipa, a bird, or a ball, as the Gemara explains. Makel, a stick, because that symbolizes that this is worshipped as a deity, as Nabi Dezara, Shereide es atzmei tachas kal olam kulei kamakel. Now, although the literal translation of this is actually in a derogatory way, which sounds like as if it is being subdued, but that's only because the Gemara wants to say it in a denigrating way. But what it means to say is that the people worship this object, this image, which has a stick in it, as if it subdues the entire world beneath itself, like in the with the use of this stick. Tzipra, when it's holding on to a bird, it should teifis its atzmai tachas kalolim kulei ketzipra, that it holds on to the entire world as one holds on to a bird with that type of a grip. And kadura, a ball, which refers to the globe, should teifis its atzmai tachas kalolim kulei kikadura, like it holds on to the entire world, like one holds on to a ball, where it's palming it and saying, like, here, I control this. That is the types of images that are worshipped, and because it's showing a sign of chashibas, of control, and those are the types of images that we consider as Avodah Zarah, and then forbidden to have benefit from it. Now, Tanim learned in the Braisa, Hisif Alei, and they added on to these items that the image would have to hold to be Aser, three more items, a Saif, a sword, a Tara, a crown, Vitabas, and a ring, as the Gemara explains. Saif, regarding the sword, so Mikarasav, originally they held, like in our Mishnah, it doesn't mention these three items, because holding a sword is list to Ma'alma, it's just like a bandit. So it's not worshipped like as if it's some type of a chash of a thing, as if it's a deity, because a sword means it's like a bandit. Well, Saif Savar, but at the end they thought, which in the Braisa they added on, the sword, Shahirigas Atzmetachas Kalam Kule, meaning that it kills, it could kill out the entire world with its sword. That is an image that would be worshipped as a Avodah Zarah if it's holding a sword, and that is considered, according to Rabbanan, also something forbidden. A Torah regarding a crown. So Mikarasav, originally they thought in our Mishnah, Gedil Kalila Ba'alma, it's something that just makes these wreaths, these types of things like a peasant would make, and therefore it's not considered significant that it's holding a crown. Well, it was Saif Savar, but at the end they thought Katar Lamelech. No, it's like one who has the crown for the king, it shows a sign of dominion by holding a crown, and therefore that would be considered something that we should suspect that they worship as Avodah Zarah. Tabas, regarding a ring, so Mikarasav, originally they thought in our Mishnah, Ishtiyama Ba'alma. It's just like an agent who's bringing the stamp, the seal for the one who's sending him. He's like an agent, like a shliach. And therefore, that wouldn't be a sign of significance, and therefore, not necessarily worship as Avodah Zarah. But at the end, they thought, no, Shechesim es atzmei tachas kol olam kulei lemisa, is where he's sealing the entire world to death, meaning holding this the seal is a sign that the signet ring, he has the power to control the world, which is obviously not, because it's just a piece of wood or whatever the thing is made out of, this graven image. But that is would be considered that the people worship this as Avodah Zarah, and therefore they ended up adding these three items of the sword, the crown, and the ring, that these are also things we should have to suspect that they worship as Avodah Zarah. Now the Mishnah continued, a third opinion, Shimon Gamliel, v'chulu, he said that, no, whatever it has in its hand, if it's holding any object, not necessarily the three things that the Chacham said, would also be considered that we suspect that it's worship as Avodah Zarah, and therefore be forbidden this image to have an offer. Now, Tanu with Nabraisa, that the significance of Reb Shimon Gamliel's opinion is, I feel it's rare, even a pebble, I feel a kisim, even the twig, no matter what it's holding. If it's holding something, it already shows a sign of dominion as that it's worshipped as a deity, and therefore, Asr Tava Nafma. On that, Boyer Vashi asked, Tavis Biyadi Tsayim Mahu, what if this image is holding on to excrement? What's the halacha? How do we interpret that? Miyamin and do we say, Kule Alma Zilu Ba'ape Kitsaya, that the entire world is considered degradable, just like it was excrement. So it's a sign of dominion of that image, and therefore it would be like a Avodah Zarah. A dimo, maybe then, no, who me who dezil ba'api kuleyama ketzaya. No, maybe it's signifying that this image is considered like excrement in regards to the image, how it appears to the rest of the world, and therefore not obviously worshipped as an Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara take a letter saying it's not clear what the halacha would be if it's holding on to excrement, if that would be considered a problem like avodah zarah, and that it's worship, or that not, and therefore permitted to have benefit from it. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about images. So says the Mishnah, Maitzi Shivri Tzlam, if someone finds broken pieces of an image, of a statue, of a tzelem, says the Mishnah, Reilu Mutar, so these broken pieces are permitted, and the reason the Gemara will explain is because when the image was whole, so at most it was a doubt, it was a suffix, is it worshipped or is it not? Now, even if you say that it's worshipped, you could say that they nullified that the worshipping of this image, and that's why they broke it. So that's a svek sveka, it's a doubt of a doubt. Was it worship? And even if it was, maybe they were mevatla, and that's why it's broken, and therefore go leniently, and we interpreted that it's permitted to go ahead and have benefit from it. However, says the Mishnah, Matza tavnes yad or tavnes regel, let's say we don't find the entire image, but we find the image just of a hand or of a foot, then harei elu asur, although these are seemingly pieces of an image, these are forbidden, nishak yitzah behen nevid, because things like this, of just a hand or just a foot, are worshipped, and since these themselves are worshipped by their own right, it could be that this itself is what is worshipped, and the avodah zarah, although it's just a piece of entire form of, let's say, of a being, and therefore it's going to be asur. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel. The Gemara says a statement from Shmuel which relates to the halacha of a Mishnah. He says, Afila shivri avodis kechavim. Says, the halacha of a Mishnah is not necessarily shivri tzlamim. That if you find broken pieces of an image, that it's going to be permitted. Meaning, because you would say, the halacha of a Mishnah is only shivri tzlamim. Why is that permitted? Because, A, first of all, maybe it was never worshipped, even when it was whole. And now when it's broken, okay, so we have another reason to say why it's permitted. And that's a Shmuel note, that even if the broken pieces of the Avodah Zarah that we see were worshipped when it was a whole image, even so, now that it's broken, it's going to be permitted. Why? Because since it's broken, so then they don't worship it anymore. So it's not worshipped anymore, it's not Avodah Zarah, and if it's permitted to have benefit from it. And that is the Gemara, but Vanan Tznam, but the wording in our Mishnah said, Shivrit Slamim, broken pieces of an image. An image we don't know, a statue, you don't know is worshipped or not. So that's one leniency. And moreover, now that it's broken, so maybe it was nullified. But how can Shmuel go ahead and say that even a Shivri Avodis Kechavim, where then for sure we know it was worshipped, how do we know if just that it's broken that's going to be permitted? Says the Gemara, Nahu Adin Dafila Shivri Avodis Kechavim. No, the truth is like Shmuel said. It's not only a broken piece of a statue, of an image that's permitted, but even of one of we know that it was an idol, worship as an idol, that if it's broken, it's going to be permitted. And why did the Mishnah say it only in the case of a broken piece of an image? Because I wanted to teach the halacha of the end of the Mishnah. Mishnah said, Matzah tavnis yad tavnis regel ha-reyel asur. And it says that if you find an image of a hand or image of a foot, then that's going to be forbidden. And said the Mishnah, why? Because things similar to that are worshipped. Now, had the Mishnah only said, like in Shmuel's halacha, that if you find shivri avidis kechavim, that then it's going to be mutter, so then that would have said, in regards to the halachas of the Mishnah of the Seifa, oh, so the Mishnah is only talking about an actual thing that was worshipped. So then you would say, oh, an avidis zara that was worshipped in the form of a hand or a form of a foot, that's forbidden. But if you have a hand or a foot of just a statue, then even an image of a hand would be permitted. That's why the Reish had to say it in the case of Tzlamim, to say that even though maybe it wasn't worshipped, even so, a broken part of something that's distinct, like an image of a hand, we're going to be concerned and say that it's us because maybe it itself is worshipped. As Gemara is going to shortly explain, when we're talking about when it's like on a pedestal, it's on something that's holding it, that's something that it's like a hand itself could be worshipped, not if you find a broken piece of an idol where it's obvious it's broken, but it's standing on its distinct place, then it's going to be forbidden. That's where you have to say tzlamim, but really, if you find shivri avodis kecham, it's also permitted. We only said tzlamim to tell you the chiddush of the seifa, the hand and the foot, not only a hand and the foot of an avodis zara that's worshipped, but even if it's just of a tzelem, something, an image, we don't know if it's worshipped, even there it's going to be forbidden because we have to suspect that it is worship. Rishi Gemara now explains. Tznan, we learned in the Mishnah, which we just quoted this halacha, the Seifa. It says, Matzah tavnes yad tavnes regel. If someone finds an image of a hand, a graven image of a foot, harei lo asurin, so these are forbidden. Why? Says the Mishnah, nishak yitzbay nevid, because things like this are worshipped. And that is the Gemara, my why, as we get into Tamid Beis, but vashvar mnenu, these are broken pieces. It's not the whole image. So, like we said, and Rishon discusses this on the question on Shmuel in general, but the point is, it's a broken piece. And we said the broken pieces of an image are permitted. So why is this forbidden? It says the Gemara, Tirgum Shmuel, Shmuel interpreted the halacha of the seifa, ba'imdin al besisan. It's when it's standing on a base, something that was prepared to hold the hand or the foot. Since it's put like that, it definitely looks like it's something that's worshipped, because a hand and a foot are significant parts of power, and therefore, even just a hand and a foot, since it's put like on this pedestal, seems like it's something that people would worship, and therefore, even though it's only parts, it's going to be forbidden to have benefit. More continues a related discussion. Itma, we learned as follows. Avoidis kechavim shenishtabra me'aleha. An idol that broke by itself, it fell down and it broke. So we have machlekes. Although we said in the Mishnah that a broken idol, broken piece are permitted, but what happens if it broke by itself? So Rabbi Yochanan Asur, he says, forbidden. B'Shem B'Lakash Amen Mutaris, he says, permit. I think Mar explains. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Asur, he says, forbidden the holy bitla, because the one who owns the idol, who made it, didn't nullify it, and therefore it's still considered in halacha as the forbidden to have benefit from an idol. In our Mishnah, the person broke it, so then it's permitted. But here, it just broke by itself, it's still going to be asa. Shem ben Lakish HaMutarsi says permitted. Why? Because mistama betuli mevatale. We could assume that he probably did nullify it. In other words, what they're both agreeing to, that one has to nullify the idol. It's forbidden. It becomes an object that's forbidden to have benefit because it's not by desire. So it has to be voided. If the person breaks it, for sure he voided it. But when it breaks by itself, so Birchin says he didn't void it. Shem Lakish says that, no, he definitely did. How did he do it? It broke by itself. Because Meimo Amar, the idol worshipper says, Ihi nafshalayatzla, the idol itself can't save its own skin. Lahu gavim atzle, for that person, meaning for the one who worships it, is going to be able to save. And therefore, he says, this is no power, there's no deity here. And therefore, he nullifies it even though it breaks by itself. Now, that the Gemara has different questions. That Isvei B'yechin and B'shem Malakish. B'yechin asked Rish Lakish from the following pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, which talks about the idol of the Philistines, of the Pelishtim, when they had taken the urn of the Jewish people, and in punishment it says, in the pasuk over there, in Parakei Pasuk Dal, it starts over there, it says that they woke up in the morning, the next day, and Dagon, which was their idol, fell in front of them on the ground, in front of the urn of Hashem, and it says, V'reish Dagon, the head of this idol Dagon, Ushtei Kapas Yadav, and the two palms of its hands, Kruzois were cut off, V'goyim, etc., where it says, it fell down onto the door over there, by the threshold, and only Dagon was left over there. Now, Uksiv, and it says after that, Al Kain lo yidruchu kohani Dagon v'goyim. Therefore, the priests of Dagon wouldn't go, like it says over there in the pasuk, on the threshold of Dagon. Now, what do you see from there? So obviously, because now that the parts of the idol are there on the threshold, so this is now where the idol is resting. So you see that even though it was only parts of the idol that were there on the floor, but since it fell by itself, so we see, says Rabbi Yechanan, that it's still going to be considered, Aser, it's still going to be considered to them as not by desire, which is not like Rish Lakish, which said, even though it breaks by itself, they go, ha, broke by itself, they're mevatlef and Navay Dezar, and they don't worship anymore. Here we see that the Pelishtim still worship the pieces of Navay Dezar, because since it fell on the threshold, they don't go near the threshold. Oh, that's where the idol is, that's where the deity is, that's where their so to speak, holiness is. So you see that it's still considered Navay Dezar, even if it's broken, if it breaks by itself. Amalei Rish Lakish said back to him, Misham Raya, you bring me a proof from over there? Hasam over there, it's not that they worshipped and they considered as an Avodah Zarah the broken pieces of the Avodah Zarah Dagon. It's not that they saw that it's considered Chashiv the Dagon. They're Shemanichin as a Dagon. They left, yeah. If an Avodah Zarah breaks, it can't save itself, they don't worship it anymore. They left the idol of Dagon, Va'ivdin as a Miftan. And now they worship the threshold. Damihachin, this is what they said. Shavke Israel Dagon. Israel is from the word of the power. The power left Dagon, va'asa esav le'al miftan, and now it came, and since it left the tzelem, the image, it left and it came onto the threshold, and that's what they're worshipping now. So yeah, it does not contradict Rish Lakish. He's interpreting that it's actually that they were mevatlan, and that's why they were worshipping now the threshold. And then Esav Yerichan continues asking Rish Lakish, now from our Mishnah. Mishnah said, ha'maytzei shivritzlam, someone finds broken pieces of an image, ha'rei elu mutarn, so that's permitted to have benefit from it. On that, says Rabbi Yechon, this is similar to the Gemara's discussion before, how it relates. Now the inference is, Hashivri avodis kechavim asurim. So that's only broken pieces of an image, a statue. You find broken pieces, that's permitted. But broken pieces of what you know to have been as an idol is going to be forbidden. So you see that even though it's broken, it's going to be forbidden. Why? Because no one was mevatlet. So you find broken pieces, big deal. So it fell off the table, but it's still considered avodah zarah to them, which is not like Rish Lakish, who says, if it broke by itself, it's going to be mutter. Says Rish Lakish, no, loy tema, don't say the inference. It says in the Mishnah, shivri tzlam amutarin. So he's saying, okay, tzlamim, because that was never necessarily worship. It's a svek sveker. Shivri avodah kacham, sound is going to be asr. Unless Rish Lakish, no, that's not the inference. Don't say shivri avodah kacham masurin. Ela'ema, rather say what the inference of the words of the Mishnah are. Yeah, shivri tzlamim amutarin. The inference being, hatzlamim atzman asurin. But the images themselves are forbidden. With stomach, Remeir. And the Mishnah is anonymously like Remeir, who says that in the first Mishnah in this parak, that when you have stam tzlamim, are going to be asa, because we assume that any image is worshipped at least once a year. And that's what our Mishnah is saying, that even the Remeir says that a regular image is forbidden, but he agrees that their broken pieces are going to be permitted. Now on that, the Gemara asks, so this was Rabbi Yochanan's question on Rish Lakish, which Rish Lakish answered and said, don't make the diuk that shivei avodah kacham are going to be asa. Maybe shivei avodah kacham are also going to be permitted. The diuk is that only the shivri tzlamim amutarim, but the tzlamim itself is awesome. Ask the Gemara, now Rabbi Yechanan himself, that he said over here that Reb Meir agrees that the broken pieces of the image are permitted, meaning although Reb Meir says in the opening Mishnah that any image itself is forbidden, but the broken pieces are permitted. So the Gemara asked the following question. Mid Reb Meir nishma lehu l'rabbanan. We could infer that just like we see a pattern by Reb Meir's opinion, there's machlokes Reb Meir and Rabbanan in the first Mishnah, we could infer the same pattern we find by Remeir, so too we could infer by the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan would also permit the pieces of a broken part of even a regular Avodah Zarah, which is not like Rabbi Yechanan. That was the Machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yechanan is saying, if it breaks by itself, it's going to be Asr, and Rish Lakish is saying it's Mutter. So the Gemara asking Rabbi Yechanan, seemingly it seems to be, from the conclusion of the logic, that the Rabbanan is going to say that actually the broken piece of Avodah Zarah is going to be permitted. Why? Because a Tselem, an image according to Remeir, is the same thing how the Rabbanan hold an Avodah Zarah is by the Rabbanan, because they say you have to know that it's worship. And therefore they say it's only if it's holding a stick or holding things like that, a bird and a globe. Now, from Remeir's opinion, we could infer according to Rabbanan. Why? Lavam Remeir didn't Remeir say, as we just pointed out just before, Tzlamim asurin shirit tzlam mutarin, that the image itself is forbidden, but the broken piece of image are permitted. So from there, you could also infer most definitely that Rabbanan, according to Rabbanan, parallel in their opinion, Avodah Kachavim, so regarding something that you know to be Avodah Zarah, because it's holding a stick, things that you know you could assume for sure that it was worship, Nami, the same logic would be, Hi Asura, the image itself that has the stick or the bird, it itself is forbidden, Ushvareha Mutarin, but the broken pieces are permitted, which is not like Rabbi Yechanan. We see that Shivri, Avodah Kachavim, are going to be permitted. Now Rashi points out, although the Gemara could have asked, from the Rabbanan's opinion itself, you could infer, according to the Rabbanan, meaning, the Rabbanan say that a tzelem that has in its hand a stick or a bird, that's forbidden. Now, the inference would be, but a broken piece of that Avodah Zarah is going to be permitted. And that says Rashi, the reason why the Gemara didn't escalate that is because ultimately we don't see anywhere clearly in our Mishnah that the Rabbanan permitted the broken pieces of that tzelem. But we find Rabbi Yechanan is agreeing that in Remeir that's the case, that the tzelem is asur, but the broken piece of tzelem are permitted, so then say the same logic in Rabbanan. What they consider to be an Avodah Zarah, which that whole image they said in the Mishnah is going to be asur, the inference, just like we find by Remeir, should be that the broken pieces are going to be permitted, which again is not like Rabbi Yechanan. Tosh the Gemara says, Hachi Hashtag, can you compare the way we find by Remeir to the way we find by Rabbanan? They're different. Hasam over the Bar Meir, regarding that we said that the broken pieces of an image itself, of a statue, are permitted, that makes sense. Because why? Eimer avdim, eimer lo avdim. First of all, regarding the image itself, we should say, well, maybe it was worship, maybe it wasn't. So, okay, regarding the image itself, Meir says it's aser, because that's one suffix. Now, but then you take it to the next step. Vimtem salem avdim, even if you say that it was worshipped, Eimer batlum, but maybe it was nullified, that's why it's broken. So that's a svek sveka, that's a doubt of a doubt, that makes sense, that would be lenient. In contrast, avodah kachavim, in the case that Rabbanan don't say regular image is forbidden, they say only if it's holding a stick, something that we know for sure that it probably was worshipped. So regarding an avodah zarah, vadi avdua, it for sure was worshipped. Mi eimer debatla, but even if we find it broken, who said that it was nullified? it is at most have a suffix. It's just a doubt, one doubt. Uvadai, but there's a definite ister, meaning we have doubt if it was broken with the intention of nullifying it. At the same time, we know for sure at least one point up until now the presumption was that it was aser, because we know that it was worship. It had a stick, it had a bird, it was holding a globe, a bowl. And therefore, since it's a suffix to be matur and a vadi that's aser, v'ein suffix maitim de vadi, as we know many times in Shas, it says that a doubt cannot remove it from its definitive position, where up until now the chazaka initially was, the presumption was that it's aser. Now that it's broken, maybe it's broken because the guy was mavatla, maybe not. That's one suffix. And suffix maitim de vadi, therefore you can't compare it to a meir. A meir, it's a svek sveka. Here it's just a suffix, and the suffix can't be maitim de vadi. There is maybe it's worship, maybe not. And even if yeah, maybe it's mavatl. Here it's for sure worship. So though it seems like the parallel, okay, Rameir says usr, the image, broken piece of image are permitted. Usr, Rabban say, avodah zarah is usr, so the broken piece are mutter. Not necessarily the same thing. There it's svek sveka. Here it's one suffix, ain't suffix maitim de vadi. Now on that, asked the Gemara on Rabbi Yechlin's answer. Ve'ain suffix maitim de vadi, is that really so that a doubt cannot remove, meaning a doubt that would be permitting something cannot remove from a definite prohibition, where something up until now we knew was aser? Is that really so? Which is what Rabbi Yechanan's answer was based on. But Vatan, which in Shas we say this many times, but the Gemara is asking it as if not necessarily is that clear, because Vatan learned the Brisa as follows. Chaver Shemes, a Talmudic scholar, someone who's scrupulous in Jewish law, passes away. V'nich Megoyre Malei Peres, and he left a storehouse full of produce. Says the Brisa, Filahim B'nei Yoyman, even if they were just produced today, they were just finished in the processing. Harehin becheskes musukanan. The presumption is that they were already fixed, that the appropriate tithes were already taken off, and they're permitted to be consumed. That has the Gemara, but v'och, in this case, the vadei tvili. Most definitely, these things entered the category of being usr, of being considered untithed produce. Meaning, since we see that all the work on the produce was finished, that already creates a presumption that it has the prohibition now of tevel. You can't eat from it now because it's already produced, and you can only eat from it after you take off the appropriate tithes. And suffik astrinu, suffik lo astrinu. Now we have a doubt. Did he take off tithes? Did he not? He just finished producing it today, and a few hours later today, passed away. We don't know if he took off ma'aser or not. And yet, we say the doubt of maybe that he took off the ma'aser does remove from the definite isra of tevel. So how can you say in suffik meitim nevadi to be matter something when here we see in the brisa that the suffik, if the chav was ma'asrid, is ma'aser from the vadi of the isra of tevel? And that says the Gemara, hasam vadi uvadayu. There, it's a definite and a definite. In other words, just like it's obvious to you that it was tevel, because we see that the production was finished, which then that gives it the designation of tevel, it's also obvious that the chavr was ma'asirit and took off the tithes immediately to have the presumption of heter as a vadai. Why? The vadai asrinu, because most definitely he took off the tithes already. Why? Kedreb chanin chazah. Remember chanin chazah, he says chazaka al chavr, there's always a presumption on a chavr, on a talmud chacham, which is a vadai, she'enem moitzi davar, she'enem esukam tachas yadav. He does not let out anything from his control that's not already totally corrected from his domain. And therefore, even though he died a few hours later, we could presume that the moment he finished production, it was already fixed and done, because that's how a Talmud Chacham is. And therefore, it's not a suffix and a vade, it's a vade and a vade, and that's why it's permitted. Or says the Gemara, v'ibayisim, if you want, you could say that actually suffix v'suffiku. Not like the Gemara's previous answer that said, oh, that it's not suffix meitzim de vade because it's vade and vade. No, because actually suffix, and that is just like you said you're in doubt. If this Talmud Chacham who died that same day, if he took of ma'aser or not, you also have to be in doubt if it ever came to the halachic category of tevel or not to be halachically forbidden, because although seemingly we said that that's an obvious issue because the work was already finished and there's already smoothed out in the pile, which was what makes it obligated in tevel, and that says the Gemara, no, you could say that halachically never became obligated in tevel yet. How so? Because Esha, the Avi Kedreb Aishia, maybe this Talmud Chacham who died, the way he had finished his processing of his produce was the way Rabbi Ishia said, where could be he brought it into his storehouses, into his home, with the chaff still on it. And or it didn't see yet the face of the house, at least in a state of finished processing. And that is halachically, biblically, to be obligated in the laws of Meiser, to be considered tevel, there has to be two steps. One is that the work has to be finished, which is considered when the chaff is off and it's smoothed out in the pile, when you have only the kernels of the grain itself. And then, only then when it then comes into the house of into the person's home and the storehouses in that form and manner, when it then comes in, then it becomes obligated in Meiser. Here, could be the person did it, as we're going to shortly explain, not like that. And therefore, maybe it doesn't have the definite Isra of Tevel yet to be considered Vade and Vade. It might be considered a Suffolk and Suffolk. Now, Rashi addresses, although the halacha is that something of Tevel, even though it didn't, meaning here it's Tevel, because it already was smoothed out the pile. Now, although it didn't come into the house that way, it wasn't raw Pnei Habayis, but still it's forbidden to consume in a permanent, prominent type of a way, like by a Suda. Here, however, the halacha is, we're telling you that you're allowed to eat it in all ways. The halacha of the Braisa was that Harein Becheskes Musakon, which sounds like you're allowed to eat it in any way, even Achilas Keva. But the problem is, even if you're saying that, let's say it came into the house with its chaff on, and it wasn't raw Pnei Habayis when it was already smoothed out, so although that permits, as we'll see, maybe Achilas Arai in the temporary snacky type of way, but Achilas Keva is forbidden. So how do we explain the halacha of the price? And that says Rashi, no, that still wouldn't be considered, as the Gemara is answering, as something Maitim Nevadai. Because according to biblical law, there is no prohibition of eating an Achilas Keva. If it's not biblically obligated in Meiser, then it's not considered Tevel. It's only rabbinically that they said it's forbidden. Yet, you're allowed to still snack from it, but rabbinically they said you're not allowed to eat Achilas Keva of it. So in regards to that area of law, the Drabbanan believe the chazaka of a chaver to say that he definitely fixed it. In other words, not like the Gemara's first answer that says it's a definite, it's a tevel, but it's a definite that the chaver fixed it. No, it's a suffik and a suffik. But wait, it's not just a suffik and a suffik. There's still an iser achilas kva. No, that's only rabbinically prohibited. Regarding the rabbinic iser, the Rabbanan believe the chaver that he took care of the obligation of Meiser, so although it's not a Vadi and Vadi on the biblical level, but the Rabbanan still believed him, and therefore, yeah, it's Becheskes Musakanim. Now, but truth is, says Rashi, if let's say we would have seen this Talmud Chacham before he passed away, that he smoothed out the pile of the grain before it came into the house, and therefore became biblically obligated in Tevel, then of course, it would not be able to be removed from the definite Isser of Tevel until he went and took Meiser in front of us, because again, we don't consider it Vadi and Vadi, we consider it a Suffolk if he took of Tevel. But again, if he took of Truma and Maisa, but again, we're considering it's a Suffolk if it was obligated in Tevel in the first place. Again, although rabbinically it's forbidden, but the Rabbanan believed him, that's because it's regarding rabbinic law. Well, now, what's the approach of Rabbi Yishya? Because the Amr that he said, it's not necessarily that if a person wants to bring his produce into his storehouse, that he'll be biblically obligated in Maisa, that it'll be considered as Tevel. Why? Because Maram Odam Al Tibasa, a person can be crafty regarding his grain, his produce, Umachnisa, and he can bring it into his courtyard, B'mait Shalah, when it still has its chaff on it. In other words, he won't do it the way it normally does, that he threshes and he does all the procedures for the grain and smooths it out in one big pile in the fields. Because the meruach, the smoothing out of the pile, which after threshing you have just the grain you put into this big pile and you smooth out the pile, that's the Gemar Malacha, that's the finishing the processes of the produce. Now, that's step one. Phase two is that when it's brought into the person's home, that then makes it permanent to be obligated in Meiser to say that from now on, a person can't even snack from it, as the Gemara says in Bamatzid HaPerichesim and Aleph. Now here, since he brought it into his home, his courtyard, before he finished the work, it still had its chaff on, so it did not become obligated yet in the Meisers. Now, when he, after it's already in his home, he smooths out the pile right now, that's not going to obligate him in Meiser anymore. Because it's not being in the home that makes him obligated when it's smoothed out, but it's rather when it's smoothed out and it comes into the home. The Pnei Habayis in front of the home that way is obligated, as the Gemara learns over there from the Pesach of Achol B'Sherecha. So even if, let's say he smoothed it out in the field, another way that it wouldn't become biblically obligated is if, let's say, he doesn't bring it into the Pnei Habayis, doesn't come in the front door, it comes through the roof, it comes through the backyard. As the Gemara says, Brachas Avraham Hamehem Beis, that also would not make him obligated in Meisteris, because the definite obligation of Tevel on the biblical level is only if it was smoothed out beforehand and then it's brought in through the front door. Those are the two requirements. Here, says Rabbi Yishya, you could make it that you won't be biblically obligated. Now, there are some rabbinic laws, like we said, that a person can't eat an achilas keva still, and there could be some limitations. But according to biblical law, it's considered suffik. Maybe it was never tevel, and therefore his suffik, if it was ma'aser, is enough also. Now, because Rabbi had said in a different context, he says that a person could maybe want to do it in a way that he won't be biblically obligated. Why? Is kadesh de behemto echelis, so that he could let his animal eat from the grain, upaturim and amaiser, and whatever his animal's eating from is going to be exempt from taking tithes. Now, eventually, he might want to go ahead, as we're going to see. That's actually why Rabbi Yishai picks one's animal, because one's animal is always considered an achilas arai, a temporal type of eating. And therefore, there's not even a rabbinic prohibition, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechta Peya, that a person could give his animal and his wild animals and his birds to eat until the pile was smoothed out. So we obviously see that the eating of the animal is considered arai, because in contrast, by the person himself, even if it wasn't yet smoothed out, it's still rabbinically prohibited to eat an achilas kavah. You could stack, but not eat a meal out of it. Now, same thing is regarding if, let's say, it was smoothed out, but it didn't see the Pnei HaBayis, didn't go in through the front door, one's animal is also permitted. But he himself is going to be rabbinically forbidden to eat a meal out of it, only he's going to be able to snack. Now, however, if it was smoothed out, and then it was Roy Pnei HaBayis, which is when it becomes biblically obligated, then even for one's animal, it would be forbidden until one takes of Maisa, because although the Mishnah teaches in Demai that if someone buys grain for his animal to eat, he's exempt, that is talking about demai, which is a suffix if it's chayv and tevel. But if it's definitely chayv and tevel, then one's animal is prohibited. Here, what Rabbi Yishai is teaching, that if someone doesn't want the biblical obligation yet, which permits a arai type of consumption, not for a person, I mean snacking. For an animal's eating is always considered an arai. And therefore, a person would want to have his animal could snack on then until he takes a maisa without having to take a maisa on their food. What he could do is, he could not smooth it out until it's in his yard already. So then it never gets the biblical obligation, and that would allow his animal to eat an achilas arai. Now for him, it's not going to be practical because achilas kavah is not going to allow it, so he's going to end up taking it off. But that's what the Gemara is saying, is that could be it's a suffix for suffix, because could be it never became obligated. Why not? You see it's smoothed out already. You see it's finished. Yeah, but maybe he smoothed it out after he already brought it into his courtyard. It was already raw Pnei HaBayis when it had its chaff on. Oh, so that's not the biblical obligation. Maybe it was never vaday tevel, and therefore it's only suffik tevel, and therefore the suffik it was ma'aser is enough to emaitzi from the suffik tevel, and that's why it's becheskes musakonim, as we said, the rabbanon believed regarding their isra of even achilas kvah, regarding the cheskes nemonis of the chaber that was maitzi, not as a vadi and vadi, but that suffik would be enough for their gzer rabbanon of even achilas kvah. Another question the Gemara, however, asked is, "Ve'ein suffik maitzi mevadi?" Is that really so? Like Rabbi Yechonad answered that a suffik cannot be maitzi from a vadi. But the time when the Braisa Amr Behuda says, Maisa Bishafchas, there was an incident with the maidservant as we continue to talk about Membezim and Alf, Shal Meitzik Echad Bereman, by a very strong person that was a Jew in this place, Reman, Shehetila Nefil Labar, that she went and this maidservant had a miscarriage and she threw this aborted fetus into a pit. Now, Uba Kayan, now a Kayan who was a sage and he was someone that passed in Halacha, now his intention was, he wanted to notify the maidservant regarding what is her halachic status regarding the days of purity and of impurity, because a woman that gives birth, if it's a child, then you have to know if it's a male or a female. There's different days of tumah and different days of tara. So the kohen came, the hatzitz, and he looked into the pit, by the edge of the pit looking in, laid the imzachar nekeva to see what was the fetus that didn't survive. Was it male? Was it female? And the story, the incident came in front of the sages, and they purified the kohen. They said that he's not tameh. Why? If over a dead fetus, a dead person, is tumas oil. If you lean over a dead person, the person becomes tameh. So why isn't this kohen tameh? He was leaning over the dead fetus to see if it was male or female. Because in the pits, there's weasels and leopards that are encountered over there. And therefore, we could suspect that most definitely the animals already ate up the dead fetus or dragged it to their lairs, to their place where they live. And therefore the kohen was not mahal, was not leaning over the dead fetus. And that is the Gemara Bahach in this case. The vada hitila nefil. We have a definite iser where for sure she took this non-viable child that didn't survive the childbirth and she threw it into the pit, which is a definite iser of tumas oil. Safik gabaru, safik lo garu. And then we have a doubt. Did the animals drag it away? Did it not? V'ka'asi safik ma'itzim nevada. You see that the doubtful heter of saying that the animals took it away is ma'itzi. It precludes and removes from the definite iser of the tumas oil, which is regarding a kayin. which has ramifications regarding his eating truma, etc. So you see, Safik is Maisim Nevadai. Says the Gemara, no. Loitema hitila nefer labar. Don't say that she took the non-viable fetus and threw it into the pit. Ela'ema rather say hitila kemin nefer labar. What she threw in was something that seemed like an aborted, a non-viable child, the miscarried child, into the pit, which is a svek sveka. Maybe it wasn't even a nefel, and rather, maybe it was a sack full of water and air. Now, therefore, since it's a svek sveka, doubt of a doubt, therefore we could go leniently. On that estigma, but the story said, it said in the Brisa, he wanted to ascertain if it was male or female. Obviously, it was a child, it just wasn't sure what the gender was. This is more nahochim, and this is what the Brice was saying. Leida imruach apila. First, the kohen, the sage, the rav, wanted to know what was thrown into the pit. What did this woman have? Was it just a sack full of ear, and that maybe she doesn't even have to sit any days of tum and tahara because she didn't give birth to anything? Im nefilatila, or maybe it was a nefil. V'im tim tzalema. So the Brice is only starting at phase two. V'im tim tzalema, nefilatila. And if you're going to say, maybe what he's going to see that it was an actual child, he still has to look, leidim zachem nekeva, to see if it's a male or female, but therefore it was still a suffix of a sveika. Maybe it was a child, maybe not. And then he wanted to see what it is. So therefore that's going to be considered not as a suffix maitim nevadei, because there is no vadei yisro over here. It maybe was not an yisro in the first place, and therefore they were able to say that he's tar. If you want, you could say that not that it's a suffix and suffix, but kiven shechuldo bardlus mitzuyin shem, since there are weasels and leopards that are found over there, vade garu. They most definitely did drag away the dead child, and we could presume like that, and it's actually considered as a definite, not a suffix, and therefore that would be considered a vade vade. So the Gemara in both of the questions answers that both of these cases, is the answer is like Rabbi Yechanan. A suffix of heter is not meitzim devadi iser. But in both cases that the Gemara had asked from, we could say either that it was a suffix v'suffix, or that it was a vade vade, and that's what the halacha would be, that the heter would permit in both situations regarding the grain being eaten from the chava that passed away, or from the kohen who leaned over what was possibly a nafel.